Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Imagine that. That's what we're going to talk about. The power of a transformed mind. Let's go to Proverbs this morning. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry. We'll start there first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One of the greatest messages that I've ever heard is the teaching on spirit, soul, and body. And there is some difference of opinion on certain sides of it, but there's a general truth in it that if you grab a hold of it and really renew your mind to it, it will change your life. It will absolutely change your life. Understanding that you are a spirit, that you have a soul, and that you live in a body will redefine you. And here's the thing, it'll redefine the way you think. Most of the world does not even want to acknowledge, especially in our current culture with the idea of evolution and different things like that, they don't want to even acknowledge, especially our scientific community, that there's a spirit world. What they want to acknowledge is that you are a body and you have a mind, okay? And that's as far as they want to go. Well, there are several problems with that. One is, if there's no spiritual influence, how do you explain some of the things that take place? How do you explain the reason why people think the way they do? If we just believe in evolution, if we just believe that we started out as a blob, you know, from the goo to the zoo to you, if we believe we started and we, you know, struggled and got out of the water and we, you know, grew opposing thumbs and we hung on a tree and then one day our tail fell off and then we started crawling along the dirt, but then eventually we stood straight up. If we believe all that, then it's all based in pride and selfishness, because we become what we are. And then what's to stop us from moving into thinking or believing other things, like the current situation in the culture with, quote-unquote, the transgender and all that stuff? Can I help you with something? Don't just hate the LGBT. It's not going to do you any good. All it's going to do is irritate you. Okay? They already hate the idea of the situation that they're in. Okay? They don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to deal with it. Imagine you're in a dark hole and you're blindfolded. That's where they are. Okay, so they're scrambling and flailing, trying to do things through politics and science, junk science, but science and different things like that, trying to make this thing happen. And there are some people that are seriously believe that they're this way, and they need deliverance. And then there are people that will take politicians who are just as evil in the sense of, I mean, they're very evil, but they love money and they love certain perversions and things like that. They'll use these people as puppets to continue to motivate a culture into dysfunction so that they can be the hero in bringing everything back together. And people think, you really think it's that way? I know it is that way. Okay, the spirit of Antichrist has not ended. Ever since it got into the earth, ever since the enemy got into the earth, he's been trying to dominate the earth from day one. He wants to be as God. So don't just look at things and go, oh, they're so, you know, I can't believe they think this way. Realize there's spiritual forces operating in the earth, God's side and then the enemy's side. And the enemy is the god of this world. That's what the Bible says in Corinthians. Okay, so if he's in the world, he's actively moving and trying to affect and shape the way the culture thinks and believes. And since that's the case, we need to be actively renewing our minds to who we are in Christ and who God is to us and in us, so that not only do we not get deceived, but also we'll be able to help someone else. If your Christianity, the substance of it, is just about helping you, you need to grow up a little bit. It should be about you and helping somebody else, okay? Being a light to somebody else. So, keeping that in mind, so when it comes to those things, don't just get upset about them. You can be aware of them, but they need deliverance. And currently in the culture, I mean, there's discussion going on that we don't even know how many genders there are. There's been discussion of wanting doctors not to put the right gender, you know, mark it as a gender. What is the kid going to decide someday? What if your kid, what if you just let your kid decide everything? Can you imagine where our culture would go if that happened? I mean, that's crazy. But, you know, crazy is motivating them. Okay? And I know they think they have a legitimate beef. I understand that. But the reality is that God has placed us on the earth to be salt and light and to be the right expression of who He is in the earth. And we don't just fight against those people. We fight against the spirit that is behind them. We want the redemption of the people. I really believe we're getting to the point, like Jude talks about, where you're redeeming people out of the fire and hating even the clothes they wear. If you can read that in Jude. Now, that's got to be bad if their clothes are even... You're like, you're saved now. Good, let me give you some new clothes. You know, I mean, it's bad. Okay? There's too much devil in those clothes. We gotta get you some new clothes, you know? And so, just realize that that's part of where we're at. Now, I believe that God is going to... We're going to have a great spiritual awakening in America. We will, one way or another. You know what I mean? Now, it may be in the midst of chaos, but so what? The chaos isn't in you. Peace is in you. So, I had this word from the Lord, and I got to read it. And I, you know, I was praying for the service last night and this morning too. And I'm not, I mean, I can preach if I want to, but I used to think I was going to be a traveling guy. You know, I was blow in, blow up, and blow out. You know what I mean? I was just going to go and rile people up, and I can do it. I mean, I'm gifted and geared that way to be able to do it. But as I was a youth pastor, I realized the importance of teaching and ministering and teaching the Word. And so if I do get up and preach a little bit, I'm not just trying to rah-rah you. In other words, the gift of God inside of me is just burning. I can feel the Holy Spirit saying, look, Sean, get up there and rile them up. Because we need to. The enemy does so much to stir you away from God that sometimes, you know, it's like chocolate milk. All the chocolate goes to the bottom and you forgot how good God tasted. So we got to stir you up. If you just let it sit. And so God will use gifts to do that. You know, I'm going to be preaching the youth camp. It will be a different Sean that your kids, some of your kids will see. And so, but it's just because of different anointings for different times, different emphasis from the Holy Spirit. But I got this message from the Lord, and He said this, and I wrote it out. I haven't done this like this before, but I just felt like I was supposed to. The Lord says to you, peace, peace. Why would you question the Creator of the universe and my wisdom for your life, my leading? Do you not trust me, the one who gave His Son for you in the greatest demonstration of love? Your concern and worry comes from a mind filled with things that are outside of my will for you. Some of the things are from the world and the enemy, and some of the things you have added to your own life by being involved in things that I, God, did not ask you to do. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. The Lord says, I tell you, my child, seek my kingdom first, and all other things will be added to you. Be still before me. Take time with me and I will direct your paths. Let me have access to all your life. And I want to emphasize that. All your life. You know, we do this with the Lord. Lord, I want you to direct me. Oh, but don't touch that thing. Oh, and not this. And really what people say is, Lord, could you help me with 25% of my life? Let me help you with something. And we all do this because we're human, okay? We all have this tendency. If you're allowing the Lord to run 25% of your life, that means 25% of His blessing can get to you. Because God is not required to bless your ideas. Do you see that? Mike, did you say it or did Brett say it? If you be willing and obedient. Some people are just obedient. They're not willing. You know why? Because God asks you to do things that offends your flesh and your mind. And you go, I don't want to do that. And the Lord says, willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You got to be willing and obedient. That means quickly inside you go, Lord, I'm willing. You shrug aside what you want because I'll put it to you like this. A lot of people make their plans and pray God to bless them when we should be praying for God's plan and the blessing will automatically come. Does that make sense? Seek God and don't let the enemy pigeonhole you into, I've made so many bad decisions, there's no way God can get me out. God is not impressed by your problems. I should say that again. That was so good, I heard it as I was saying it. God is not impressed by the size of your problems. He's not. He doesn't sit on the throne and grip it with white knuckles going, they did what? The debt is how big? I've got a universe to run. Nope. Do you know that you're 100 million, trillion times more valuable than the universe? Contrary to evolution's thoughts. You are the... Everything was made for you. The stars, the sun, the moon, the skies, all the galaxies, they're for you. People say, that's self-centered. No, that's faith. That's the love of God. The planet, we're not here as some byproduct of the planet. The planet is here for us. Yeah. That's why we can dig the gold out of it, dig the coal out of it, and drill the oil out of it. The Lord knew what He needed. We're going to destroy the planet, my carbon footprint. Oh, come on. Give me a break. Makes me want to buy a bigger truck. Well, you don't love your kids. Actually, I love them more than you. Anyway, the Lord says, let me have access to all your life. And listen to this, you will live in a land of plenty and peace. No worry. Let him have access to all of it. When he goes to the areas that irritate your flesh, those are the areas, man, if you can unite with the Lord in your will, you will come to the place of tremendous breakthrough. And you'll get past that thing and you'll go, why was I even worried about that? And it'll never bother you again. I've found the times in my life where I was challenged the most in my mind about situations. I grew the most. And we'll be patient with you. But just realize the Lord wants you to grow and develop. And if it challenges you, it's probably good. It's probably good. I don't feel like doing it. That is the perfect time to do it. It's the perfect time. Because you'll teach your flesh that it's not in charge. You are the person on the inside. Amen? All right, so I just wanted to give that to you. All right, so what we're going to do is we're beginning a series on the mind. And in the next several weeks on Sunday mornings, we're going to take a look at what the Bible has to say about the mind. Some of the questions that we will answer in this series will be, what is the mind? Where do thoughts come from? How do we deal with thoughts? What is a conformed mind? What is a transformed mind? What are the benefits of a renewed mind? And what does it mean to wash your mind? What do we do when we feel overwhelmed in our thoughts? Now, you don't have to write all those down. So that's where I want to look at. As you take the teaching from this series and apply it to your life, God promises that you will live in perfect peace, according to Isaiah 26:3. So what is the mind? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the soul is the mind. It's the part of you that is the intellect. The soul is the dimension of man which deals with the mental realm. It is man's intellect. It is the sensibilities and will, the part that reasons and thinks, the part of you that looks at situations and assesses what's going on. Does that make sense? This is the part of you that is your soul or your mind. Now, the part of you that was born again was your spirit. After you're born again, you have the same mind and the same body that you always did. If you were born again and you were bald, you're still bald. If you were born again and you were a woman, you're still a woman, okay? If you were born again and you were, tall and skinny, then you're still tall and skinny. Nothing changes there. And when you're born again, your spirit changes, your soul, your mind doesn't change. You don't get a new mind when you're born again. You get the ability to transform the way you think, but you don't get God's memories. You still have all your memories of your family, your house that you live in. You have your upbringing in your mind. And this is why this is so important. We'll get into this. But you have everything from your past life prior to being a new creation in Christ Jesus still in your mind. That's why when you're born again and you receive Christ into you, sometimes it's frustrating to understand what took place because your mind is still scrambled. Your mind is still programmed to who you've been, not who you are now in Christ. Does that make sense? And so really, one of the biggest, most important things that needs to take place when you're born again is you transform the way you think by the Word of God. And primarily the New Testament. I said primarily the New Testament. Primarily the New Testament. Primarily the New Testament. You know, I enjoy that scripture that Tessa was reading this morning. And you know, it prays about, have mercy on us. Do you know He already has? If you say, yeah, the enemy is going to, he's going to fall into his own trap. The enemy's been stripped completely. And you say you're against that psalm. No, I'm not against it. But I take the Old Testament and run it through the filter of the New. Does that make sense? If you realize David and a lot of those psalms, which there's, I'm not saying they're not the Word of God. You understand? What I'm saying is they were prophetic utterances. They were prayers and things that Christ fulfilled. What David was praying was, he really wanted to go take a sword and chop some heads off. We don't get to do that. Sorry. Yeah, but I feel like it. Yeah, but Jesus told His own disciples, you know not what spirit you're of, when they wanted to call down fire like Elijah did. We don't call down fire to destroy people because they call us bald. Or a bear doesn't come out of the woods when young people come and make fun of you for being bald. Elijah in the Old Testament was sitting on a rock, and a king sent a bunch of soldiers to him, and the head soldier said, walked up to this rock where he was sitting. He said, Elijah, the man of God, come down. The king wants to see you. Elijah looked at him and said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you. And the head general and all his soldiers were consumed by fire like that. Do you know we don't get to do that today? There's some prophets that think they do, but they don't. They're confused. They've studied too much Old Testament, not enough New Testament. It would be cool. You know that word fire could be lightning, for all we know. You know, people get this picture of fire, but it could be lightning. But what I'm saying is this. If somebody drives up to you and makes fun of you going through the mall and you say, if I be a woman of God, let fire come down, and their Mustang explodes. That doesn't prove that you're a man or woman of God. Okay? That's not the covenant we live under. The covenant we live under is they make fun of you and you pray that they are healed. And that's a good thing. Why? Because we all deserve to be burned. Amen. If it wasn't for Christ. So we need to have that difference of understanding, and that's what we're going to look at here. So your mind is that will, that reasoning. Your mind is not your brain. I'm going to say it again. Your mind is not your brain. Your brain is the physical organ your mind thinks through. Now let me prove this to you. One of the reasons I know this is because you cannot take a, you can take an x-ray of the brain and you don't see thoughts, words, or images or what you are thinking. You see a bunch of gray matter. Can I ask you something? You see me. Where is you're seeing me, but you're not seeing me necessarily out here. You're seeing me in here. How much light is inside your head? I mean, think about that. Your natural brain. Where are the images? Where is the files in your brain? Just think about it this way. You're not a heart. Your spirit functions inside your body. Your physical organs are a manifestation of a spiritual reality. Some of you are like, trip, 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 trip. I know, because you've been taught too much about the natural, not about the spiritual. It comes to you. Your physical body is a manifestation of the spirit. It's not a manifestation. Where did you come from? In the beginning, what? God. Where did dogs come from? It's a physical manifestation of what God spoke. Dog, be. And the dog, woof. Because it came out of God, spirit, everything came from God. Amen. Some of you are really going to have to think about that. You're like processing in your brain. Soon there'll be steam that comes out. The gears are, we need oil. You're a physical manifestation of a spiritual reality. That's what you are. You say, well, why does the body die? Adam sinned. Death is in the body. The enemy, the last enemy to be put underfoot is physical death. There'll be a point where you'll still be what we call physical, but you'll be glorified physical. You'll have a glorified body at some point. It's an interesting thought to think about. We'll have to get to it someday, but I'm not going to go all the way there, at least right now. So one of the reasons we talked about this, you don't see thoughts, images, you see gray matter. Picture your mind as a computer hard drive where you have stored all the things that you have learned and experienced through all your life. I watched this TV show about Sherlock Holmes. And there was this bad guy that they were trying to track down and take care of because he had this file. He was actually a kind of a tabloid magazine or newspaper guy. And he had all this dirt stored in this file about different people that were of importance that could destroy them. Okay? So Sherlock Holmes was hired to find this guy, find this file, and destroy this file. Well, it turns out in the end, they finally follow this guy. They get inside of his house. He's got this huge house. They get in an elevator and they go down to this room. And the doors open and they go into this room where they think all these files are. And the guy, all there is sitting there is a chair. And the guy sits down in the chair and turns around and looks at him. And they're just perplexed. They can't figure out, where are all these files? It was all in his head. All the information he had stored in his mind. Your mind is a wonderful creation of God. And whatever you file into it, it will affect your peace level. It will affect your emotions. It will affect your body. Have you ever been in a fight with somebody? All the young people, we have. I'm not as a sport, okay? But you think about it. Have you ever been in a situation with somebody that was highly stressful and it never really got resolved, and then you see that person again after you have not seen them? What does your mind, emotion, and body do? It's got a file. It will go back and rehearse what happened, and you'll start to feel the same feelings you did when you were in that conflict. But you can get to the place to where your mind is renewed to the point that none of that affects you. Now, you're going to have to use faith on this. And I'll show you a couple of spots where Jesus demonstrated that it could be done. I'm not saying you won't feel anything. I'm saying you can be so confident and settled in the love of God for you that you will then reciprocate that love to that other person, and it will control how your emotions feel about them. You don't have to be afraid of them. It's not necessary. You can live at a different level of renewed mind. All right, so Your mind is more of a neutral ground that will respond out of whatever you put into it. So whatever you feed on, whatever you read, whatever you watch, whatever kind of music you listen to, it all affects your mind. Does that make sense? So, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 says this. It says, I'll start in verse 4. It says, "Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And then it goes on to say, "Eat and drink, he says to you, but in his heart he is not with you." Verse number 7 is what I want you to focus on here. Proverbs 23:7. "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. A man is as his thoughts." A woman, whatever it is. A human is as their thoughts. This is why, like even with some of the issues that we're facing today, people focus on something that is not who they are to the point that it becomes, they feel identity, they feel connection with something that God did not create them to be. They can follow that thought to the point that they'll have a surgery to change who they are the way they were born. That's why it's important what you feed on. That's why it's important you serve and feed on the things of the Lord. We are that really, both to God and to man, which we are inwardly. However we see ourselves, that's how we relate to others, and that's how we relate to God. Our mind is affected by that. In the NASU translation, it says this, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." The ESV says, "For he is like one who is inwardly calculating." So what are the calculations that you have about yourself? What are you adding up about yourself? What is it in your mind that you're feeding? What picture do you see of yourself? Because that's how you'll see, that's how you'll act, that's how you talk, that's all those things. "For as he thinks in his soul, so is he," the Darby translation says. I know it says heart there, but sometimes heart, it just means your core, who you are. Your spirit and your soul are your heart. They're right next to each other. They are separate, but they're right next to you. I could give you many scriptures on that, but we saw it in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. God's Word translation, it says, "As he calculates the cost to himself," this is what he does. It is who he is. "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." Proverbs 23:7 in the NET says this, "For he is like someone calculating the cost in his mind." The idea here is that you are adding up, you are thinking about, you are assessing who you are, okay? In the RSV, it says, "For he is like one who is inwardly reckoning." However you inwardly reckon, that's who you are. If you inwardly reckon, "I'll never make it past this point in my life," as you think, so are you. I just was in a situation, a friend of mine from junior high, and we knew each other in high school. We were more friends in junior high. But several years ago, he was in Australia doing some swimming and different things. And with some friends, they were just on vacation hanging out, and they were on this sand hill, and they were rolling down sideways down the hill and then diving into the ocean, just diving down into the ocean. Well, there were signs all over the place there that said shifting sand. Now, I didn't know this about this place. I mean, there were signs everywhere, I guess, several of them. But in this place in Australia where they were at, the waters and the tides shift the sand underneath. So what was deep could become shallow quick with shifting of the water, and the sands would come up. Well, he rolled down this hill and dove in. He was just going to do it one more time. When he did, the sand shifted, came up. He hit his head and broke his neck. Just like that. And now he's in a wheelchair. And I just saw him, and I was just actually at his mom's house, and I was talking to her, and she was sharing some different things, and she was sharing some of the struggles that he had had. And it was interesting because he made a statement that he would not do certain things, like get married, have kids, you know, all that stuff. He just thought, "I'm going to be this forever." Well, now he's a contractor. He's married, and he just had twin girls. You say, what does that mean? His mom instantly said to him, no, you'll do all that stuff. She didn't hold back from him. She changed the way he saw it. Does that make sense? And apparently he took it. Because as he thought, so he is. And he didn't just have one kid at a time. He just had two girls right off. Twins. You know? And so he didn't. Now what he's doing is he's developing a business. He's doing things. He's not letting his physical situation dictate to him who he is. How many know there's an inner person? There's an inner thought process that goes on. So the Young's literal translation says this, for as he hath thought in his soul, so he is. So however you think inside, so you are. When we were born again, God changed our spirits. He did not do anything with our minds or with our bodies. We have to do something with our minds and our bodies. We are seeing part of our responsibility here in Proverbs 23:7. Your thoughts, calculations, inward reckonings about what you are will cause you to speak, act, and build that image into your everyday life. So if your thoughts, calculations, and reckonings, images are constructed out of the Bible, then you are in a good place. But if they are built out of the world system, then you are not in a good place mentally. And what can happen is, even though you've been born again, even though you've received Christ, you'll stop what He's done inside of you with a mind that is not in line with that. Now I'm going to bring out some illustrations as we go and show you, some physical illustrations, show you how this works. But this is a great first point here and a great way to start. It says this. Here's another thing that I found on thoughts. The capacity of thinking is a most wonderful thing. Here lies man's supremacy over all the visible world about him. All great undertakings, the glorious enterprises of men for men's salvation were once only thoughts. The character of a man's thoughts determines the character of his life. His actions are inspired from within. Every product of the soul, whether it be in action or in purpose, is first a germ. In other words, it starts out on the inner person. The moral success of a life consists in the killing of evil thoughts in the germ. There are few purer and richer pleasures in this world than the enjoyment of sweet thoughts, happy thoughts, and holy thoughts. There's not many more. Imagine sitting down in an afternoon and just being at rest in your mind. Now, parents and adults are probably going to identify with this more than teenagers. Imagine not worrying about anything. You don't have to worry about your kids. You don't got to worry about money. You don't got to worry about your job. You don't got to worry about how busy you are. You know, you can go through a day completely at peace in your soul. Now, I have examples. I can't get to them because we're out of time from the Word. We'll get to them next week. But you can have perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3 says that God will give you the people that have their minds stayed on Him, you will have perfect peace. Do you know what that actually is? It's actually peace, peace. The word perfect is the same word as the word peace in the Hebrew. He will give you peace, peace. Do you know what that word peace means? Essentially, nothing missing, nothing broken. It means health. It means prosperity. It means deliverance. It means soundness of mind. You'll rest. Why? Because your mind is in line with the Lord. It's not in line with the world. But you, in order for this to be a reality in people's lives and in Christians' lives, there has to be a decision on your part to just grab onto the truth like a pit bull. You know, pit bulls have jaws that lock. Once they lock down, you can't get that jaw open. You need a crowbar. They lock down. Once that happens, I'm telling you. So with the enemy and with the truths of God and how these things work, that's what you want to do. You want to lock down on God's truths, and He will give you peace, peace. Think about it like this. Go ahead and stand with me. Think about it like this. Think about being in situations and being, by the power of the Holy Spirit within you, being under such control that your mind and emotions don't get away from you. Now, don't think this is some sort of dream. Jesus demonstrated it to us. Jesus was taken to the hill of to the edge of a cliff and being threatened to be thrown off. And he just heard from the Lord and walked right through the middle of the crowd, and they couldn't throw him off the cliff. Jesus stood in the midst of a woman, a crowd that was smashing against him, and yet had the mental stability to be aware of the fact that power had gone out of him. People are touching him on all sides. And he stops and asks a question that to the disciples was the dumbest thing he could have asked. He stops and looks, "Who touched me?" And the disciples looked at him and said, "What do you mean, who touched you? We're trying to keep the..." I mean, they are being smashed. You got to have this picture in your mind of a crowd so tight you can barely move. And he stops and says, "Who touched me?" Everybody's touching him. "What do you mean, who touched you, Jesus?" And he said, "No, I felt the power of God go out of me." How do you get to the place that you're so cognizant of God that everything around you is smashing in on you, yet you're aware that God is moving? Yeah, there's a truth there, isn't there? You can get there. You can be in circumstances and it can feel horrible. And you can go, "What are you saying, Lord? What are you doing? My mind is at peace." And the enemy is going to be screaming at you to feel like everybody's touching you. And even those that are close to you, that are around you, may, like Jesus' situation, go, "What are you..." They were not, his disciples were not aware of God at that time. And that God's healing anointing had gone out. They didn't know. But Jesus was so aware, and his nature lives in you. You need to renew your mind to the reality of who's inside you. And when you do, you will shock the world around you. You will function on a level and people go, "How do you stay so calm in this sort of financial chaos?" My mind's on God. My mind's not on me. My mind's not on me. "We have to make this happen." Make, no. Stop it. You're going to make a mess. Relax. I started doing this a little bit with the church. Everybody's tempted by this, guys. I was thinking, "Lord, we need this. We need that. How are we going to get to this and that?" He's like, "I'm moving." Yeah, he's moving. How's it going to change? I'll be still and know that he is God. I'll keep my mind on him. It'll be peace, peace. Peace in my house, peace in my mind. Joy and peace. Yeah, but you have all these responsibilities. Peace, peace. Do you see how the enemy works? You say, "How do you come up with that stuff?" I hear it. I'm just like you. You know, the Lord said to me, recently the Lord had me do something that added another responsibility to the things that I do. I thought, "Lord," he said, "just let me do it, okay? Just let me lead your life." Right. Peace, peace. But I'm growing, amen? Are you? Because see, this is something I cannot impart to you. I cannot impart fight into you. There, you have to want to fight. And I'm talking about spiritually fight. You know, sometimes people are like, won't the Lord just make us? He wants to see you cooperate with him. But there's got to be a decision in your will that you're going to... It's interesting, but you fight to rest. In other words, the enemy's going to come against you, but you're going to stay and keep your mind on him. And we're going to look at all the ways that we do that. One of the main ways is you just speak his word. You can change your whole thought process with your tongue. Do you know that you cannot hear thoughts in your head and speak at the same time? We'll do a demonstration on it. I'll have you start counting from 1 to 10 in your head and then start have you counting after you've done that for a few seconds out loud, and we'll see which one dominates. Your voice will take over because you're hearing it. And then it goes into your mind and you begin to think that way. So when you keep the Word of God in your mouth, whoo, the enemy has no chance. You'll wear his defeated rear end out. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for this series. Lord, I thank you that by your Spirit and by our willingness to yield to you and our faith in you, that you are going to transform the way we think. That will be different than we are right now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.